As you know, my favorite declaration of the Christmas story is the Luke account. I love reading Luke chapter 2. I just thoroughly enjoy reading about the shepherds. They're still my favorite characters apart from the main character. But this morning, for a few moments, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 1. And I'm going to read to you an account that I don't share with this congregation very often, but let's just read the Christmas story according to Matthew rather than Luke. In Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18, through reading through verse 25, a part of the Christmas story that we just don't pick it up in Luke's record. This tells us more about Joseph than we come to know in Luke's account. But there's a little gem kind of placed in the center of this account that I want to just have us spend a few minutes with this morning. Let's read from Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now this is the historian. He's telling what he knows took place. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man or an upright man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. With the situation like it was, he was contemplating a secret, private, out of the public eye divorce. This was in his consideration. But while he thought about these things, you gotta love that. Even in the time frame of his consideration, it wasn't like he was thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking, and when he got all done thinking, then God showed up with something to speak into the situation. But the Bible says that even as Joseph was trying to figure this out, was contemplating and wondering, which way do I go? What do I do about this? Is this the way to respond? Even while he was thinking about it, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, again, Matthew is writing, He's looking back. He's just telling the story as he knows it. This is what he knows took place. The Holy Spirit is inspiring him with the accurate facts of history. And he's just recalling the story. But then we get to verse 22, and suddenly it's not just historic reflection anymore. This is what he says in verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I want to just add there, Joseph called the name of the baby boy, called him Jesus, and you know what? God kept his part of the prophecy. The angel said, you call his name Jesus, and because he will save his people from their sins. Joseph called his name Jesus, and he was indeed the one who saved his people from their sins. But let me interject. Just a thought here, short thought, before we go this morning. Verse 22 and 23. This is a little insert that didn't need to be included from our vantage point. But inspired by the Holy Spirit, this is what Matthew writes, interjects into the historical record. He says this, after he talks about Joseph and Mary and the pregnancy, Joseph's thoughts about putting her away privately, the angel coming and speaking to him and clarifying what the situation was and giving him instruction, and all that's taking place there, people's lives literally turned upside down, and the world is about to change because the Savior of the world is being born in Bethlehem. Verses 22 and 23, Matthew writes, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying." What he quotes there is from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. A prophecy that had been given more than 700 years before the birth of Jesus. In a time of spiritual need of spiritual revival and things on in the life of the nation of Israel that were in desperate need. And Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet of God, speaks into that situation and predicts, prophesies that there a time is coming when a virgin will give birth to a son, and he will literally be God with us. What Matthew says here in verse 22 is literally profound for us this morning. When he says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, he is literally saying, God has done this to keep his word to his people. All that we read about in the Christmas story, all that we become acquainted with in the lives of people whose lives were again literally turned upside down, all that was taking place there. Why was it done? Matthew says, this was done so that God could keep his word to his people. The baby born in Bethlehem is called Emmanuel, God with us. You need to know that Matthew was Jewish. And he wrote to an audience that was Jewish. A people who had hope of a coming Messiah. That God would come on the scene and bring redemption to them as a people. And as we look to the Old Testament prophet, Matthew says, understand that what took place in Bethlehem, as extreme as it might seem, as out of the ordinary as it truly was, this was the activity of God because God keeps his word to his people. God with us. As Matthew writes to a people who were looking for the promise of God to be fulfilled, you'll note throughout the entire book of Matthew, he reflects repeatedly on the Old Testament prophets. He comes to what was prophesied about Jesus as Messiah, the coming king, the king of the Jews, and he brings to light the reality that this is God with us. Why did Christmas take place? Why all that we read about? How did that come about? Why did it come about? Matthew says it came about because God keeps his word to his people. He is God with us. I want to take you to the closing verses of the Gospel of Matthew this morning. Matthew 28. Evangelical Christianity reads these verses and we see it as the call to evangelism, the Great Commission. The last three verses of the entire Gospel of Matthew. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." And the final words of the gospel, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." God with us. God with his people. Do we understand the willingness of God to go to extremes to be with us, to keep his promise to us, to fulfill his word in our lives, to accomplish all that is in his heart and will for you and I as his people? When we read the closing verses of Psalm 28, he says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth." When we recognize what belongs to him as truly the King of Kings, we are reminded this morning that everything he has commanded us to do, he is an authority, and he is with us to bring about everything that we are commissioned to live out in our following him as our Lord and Savior. He is God with us. And he is one to whom all authority belongs. And all that he has called us to, every promise that he has made, he has gone to extreme, if I can use that phrase, he has gone to extreme to fulfill his promise to be God with us. The shepherds look over the edge of the manger. They see God with them. Mary ponders what has transpired in her life, and she sees God with her. Joseph, wondering what he's going to do. His betrothed wife is pregnant, and he knows that he's not the father. And the Spirit of God comes, the Holy Spirit comes, the angel of the Lord comes and speaks to him. "Don't be afraid. Don't hesitate, Joseph. What's conceived in Mary is of the Holy Spirit. It's Emmanuel. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us." Let's pray. Our God and Father, on this Christmas, may we understand the extremes that you are willing to go to fulfill your promise of God with us. It's not just a matter of beginning a religion. It's not just a matter of something of Israel's history. It is a matter that God is with his people, that you are God with us, Lord Jesus. We give you thanks and pray your blessings upon us, that as we celebrate, we will recognize indeed that you are faithful to your word, that in Jesus Christ, God is with us. That you have come, Lord, you have ministered, you have shown us the Father, and you have promised to never leave us or forsake us. We bless your name and give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Ladies.